Real quick, I just got to thinking of something right over there. And I know I've told you this story, but many of you don't realize this, but my dad is also a pastor and he's been in the ministry, in full-time ministry since 1984. He's now the program director at Teen Challenge there in Hot Springs. And it was at the Victory Church there in East Camden, at the original church, that Brother Jerry, your dad, allowed my dad to fill his pulpit. And that was my dad's first sermon that he ever preached. And so for you to give me the opportunity to come and just fill your pulpit, it just shows how much that God can bless generation upon generation upon generation. How many, do you believe that with me? Will you believe that? Do you believe that everyone in this house tonight, that their families will be blessed upon generation? Amen. How many people like to travel? How many travelers do I have in here? Okay. Now keep your hands up. How many of you like to fly when you travel? Okay. There's fewer hands still left in the air. Okay. I love to fly. And I used to have a job that I had the opportunity to fly across the country, doing trainings and seminars. And how many of you ever had an incident when traveling? Okay. Funny story. I was actually had a training seminar that I was finishing up in Nashville, Tennessee. And the very next morning, I had to be in Washington, D.C. at 8 a.m. the next morning. But my flight didn't leave Nashville till about 5 to 5:15 that evening. Plenty of time to get to D.C. No problems, right? Well, I don't know if any of you have ever flown American Airlines, but when I was in Nashville, I had to go to Atlanta. And if something's going to go wrong with your flight, it's going to be in Atlanta. Okay? So I'm on the plane. I left it on time. I was amazed. And then I get to Atlanta, and for some reason we land, and then we're just sitting there at the gate. And I'm like, what's going on? Couldn't figure it out. So about an hour to an hour and a half went by. And I had to be, my connection in Atlanta was around 7:30, 8 o'clock, okay? And so I had planned it to about an hour and a half. I was going to get there to Atlanta, have about an hour to hour and a half between flights. And the terminal I had to catch, my connection was just in the next terminal over. So no problems, right? So I'm waiting there. My wait ended up being not an hour, but it ended up being 2 hours. And the captain comes on, and I see we're starting to taxi backwards. And he said that there is another plane that is in our spot, our assigned terminal. So we had to be reassigned, and we had to be reassigned to the other end, around the opposite side of Atlanta International. And so, I don't know if you've ever been there, but it's one of the world's largest airports. I said, okay. So we get up there, we pull up, and they're having problems with the sky lift connecting to our plane. So that went another 45 minutes until they finally backed up and let us exit on the tarmac. And I had 5 minutes to get from one end of Atlanta International to the other end. Needless to say, I got to my connecting terminal right as my flight was pulling back and taxiing out. It just so happened that I was flying on a night where they didn't have any other flights that night. So I had to wait and catch a red eye the next morning. So at 5 o'clock, I was at Atlanta Airport, got my flight to Washington, D.C., and made it there, plenty of time for my training class. But then I went to go collect my baggage, and it wasn't there. So they got to looking on their computers and everything. They said, oh, we found your baggage. I said, good, where is it? They said, it's in Cincinnati. I said, now I am in Washington, D.C., right? And they said, yes. And I said, and my bags are in Cincinnati. They said, yes. What good is that doing me? But it would have been a whole lot easier if I didn't carry any baggage when I was flying. And tonight, I have a title for my sermon. It's called Baggage. Be free and follow me. If you've got your Bibles, turn to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 23. Ephesians 4, 23. When you got it, say amen. And I think I'll have it. Oh, there it is. All right. We got it up on the screen. So let's begin to read in verse 22. It says, "Since then, we do not have the excuse of ignorance. Everything, and I do mean everything, connected with that old way of life has to go. It's rotten through and through. Get rid of it. And then take on an entirely new way of life, a God-fashioned life, a life of renewal, a life renewed from the inside. God is calling you to follow Him. But you cannot allow your baggage to get in the way." Let's pray. Dear Jesus, Lord, we just thank you, Lord, for the praise and worship and the anointing and the spirit that we already feel in this place. Lord, and I just pray that for every family and every single person that is represented in this congregation tonight, Lord, let your spirit fall on them and let them realize that everyone has a purpose and everybody has a calling, but we can't go anywhere if we are not set free from bondage and the baggage that weighs us down. Lord, I just thank you for what you're going to do in advance in this service tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Let's look real quick at Luke chapter 18, verses 20 through 23. Many of you know the scripture and the story of the rich young ruler. And it says, "You know my commandments, don't you?" Okay, it's on there. Good. "No illicit sex, no killing, no stealing, no lying. Honor your father and mother," he said. "I've kept them all for as long as I can remember." When Jesus heard that, he said, "Then there's only one thing left for you to do. Sell everything you own and give it away to the poor. You will have riches in heaven. Then come follow me." This is what the last thing the official expected to hear, because he was very rich and became terribly sad. He was holding on tight to a lot of things and not about to let them go. The man had baggage that it made him comfortable. His belongings made him comfortable. It represented, during that time, during the Jewish day, if you had riches, it represented that God is pouring out his blessings upon you. But what he didn't realize is that if he would have dropped and left everything that he had, he would have had even more had he have listened and followed Christ. But he was not willing to let his baggage go and to follow Jesus Christ. So my question is to you, what is holding you back? Because, you know, everybody has a purpose. Do you know that? Do you realize that? You have a purpose. Your purpose and your calling in life may not be to stand behind a pulpit and to preach the Word of God. Many of you may have the calling to teach. Okay? Many of you may have the calling to help. Okay? How many of you have a cell phone? Okay? Do you know how to send a text message? Okay? Guess what? That could be your purpose. Because are there not people that on a Sunday morning may not be here at church? Okay? You can pick up the phone. You can send them a text message and said, "Hey, missed you on Sunday. Hope everything's all right. Is there anything that I can pray with you about?" How much effort does that take, you guys? It doesn't. So, are you willing to get out of your comfort zone and to take action and to put that baggage behind and follow Jesus Christ and to fulfill your purpose and destiny for your life? Or are you too comfortable with where you are and with what you have and your possessions that you have, and you say, "No, Jesus, I'm good. I'm good." When Jesus told him to sell everything he owned to check his baggage, Jesus was touching the very basis of his security and identity. The man did not understand that he would be even more secure if you follow Jesus. God is calling you to follow Him. You know, when you're traveling through an airport, and it's very difficult. If you have a lot of stuff with you, it's very difficult to travel. When my wife and I went on a cruise for a honeymoon, okay, I don't think we could have fit any more luggage in our vehicle. And the biggest bag that we have, you know, I would think that you're packing your nice clothes, you know, you're packing 3 or 4 changes of clothes per day. No, it's for shoes. Did y'all know that? That's what the big bag's for, is for shoes. And the one smaller than that, that might be for your clothes, but no, that's for the makeup and the hair dryer and the straightener. Man, I'm getting that look from my wife. Come on, man. Y'all know what I'm talking about, right? Okay. But it's impossible to get from point A if you are in a hurry. Especially when I was at Atlanta International trying to get to connect my to get to my connection, it was impossible for me to have to try to carry 4 and 5 bags at one time. When God is calling you, you can't take everything you got with you. You can't let stuff get in your way in order for you to fulfill your purpose and to fulfill your calling. You've got to put that baggage behind you. In Jeremiah chapter 29 verse 11, it says, I know what I am doing. I have it all planned out. Plans to take care of you, not abandon you. Plans to give you the future you hope for. Serving the Lord is not doing things for the Lord as a servant, but doing things with the Lord as a son and daughter of God. You are co-laboring with Jesus Christ. He's not saying, you go and do this, bye. He's not. Because guess what? I could not be up here doing this on my own. I promise you that. I can look back and say, God, thank you for where you have brought me, but Lord, thank you for where you are taking me, because I could not do this on my own. I promise you that. Life isn't, living a Christian life and following Christ every single step of your way in your direction and every single day is not easy. God never said it was going to be easy, y'all. Because I promise you, if you are doing what you are supposed to do, and you are taking the steps, and you are allowing your steps to be ordered by Jesus Christ, the devil is going to try to take you out. He is going to throw everything he can to take you out. Because who knows the impact that you could have on your life, not just where you are, but on the people that you see on a daily basis. Because I promise you, think about how many people that you saw today. Okay? I can probably guarantee you that I probably did not see any of those people today. So what does that mean? That means that people that you have an opportunity to minister to isn't necessarily the same people that I have the opportunity to minister to. And so if I'm doing my job and doing what God has called me to do, to live the Word, okay, and you're doing your job to live the Word, and you're making those connections, and you're letting the Word of God be spilled through you and to touch those other hearts and lives, then guess what? We can do a whole lot more for the kingdom of God. But you can't do it if you're carrying around baggage. So let's talk about this. Okay? You know, what kind of baggage is getting in your way? It could be one of the big bags. How many of you have a really, really big bag? I have a duffel bag that somehow I can pack a family of six in this duffel bag. Not the actual bodies fitting in the bag, but, you know, all the clothes that go along with it, they all fit in that bag. It is a huge, massive bag. But is your baggage that you're trying to carry around, is it drugs? Is it alcohol? Sex? Pornography? Physical abuse? Sexual abuse? Depression? It could be past relationships. But what about suicide? Or you're just like, no, Brother Daniel, no, it's not anything that big. But your problem may be something that's small. Is it unforgiveness? Come on. Is it fear of failure? Procrastination? Overeating? Gambling? Shopping? The gift of going in debt? What's your baggage that you're carrying around? Because any of those things, and there's more to that. But if you're carrying around that baggage, will you be able to 100% do exactly what God wants you to do? No. Because you've got baggage weighing you down. Because if God were to tell you to sell everything that you have, to give it all away, and move and go into a mission field someday, that debt that you're holding around will keep you from being able to do that. That unforgiveness, that past that you're not willing to let go of, that's going to keep you from fulfilling your purpose. 2 Peter chapter 9, verses 19, "For people are slaves to whatever has mastered them." Did you hear that? People are slaves to whatever has mastered them. Satan is the one who wants you to hold on to your past. I can tell you, I feel that I could have very easily, back in 2008, have just given up. After losing a child, there's just nothing that compares to that. And then later on after that, losing a wife, there's nothing that, because of just mistakes that we both made, marriage disintegrated, it was gone. And let me tell you, I hated God at that time. And I questioned, God, why am I even here? I lost a child. I lost my marriage. I have nothing else. How many of you ever been to that point to where you say, I have nothing else? I've been there, guys. I lived it. And during those times, you've got one of two choices. You can say, I'm done. I'm tired of doing this. Or you can stand. Did y'all? You can stand and be sure to know that God is in control. There is no problem that is too big. There is no problem that is too small for Jesus Christ. So my question to you is, what is the baggage that's holding you back? What are you not willing to let go of and to move forward into your destiny with Jesus Christ? What's holding you back? Our old way of life before we believed in Christ is completely in the past. We need to symbolically check the baggage that binds us and that keeps us from following Jesus Christ. Jesus doesn't expect you to do it on your own. Because since my wife and I, we've been out of session on Wednesday nights for the past 6 to 7 weeks. And so we've been coming to the Victory Church on Wednesday nights. And that's one thing that I can certainly say without a doubt. This church is filled with love and people who care. Because just a couple of weeks ago, when my wife and I, we were at the service that you had here, the funeral service, I saw a congregation that came together and rallied around a family of their own and loved them. And that's happened more than just once over the past month. But God can use this church in a mighty way in El Dorado, Arkansas. And can I tell you something? Hey, I'm from Cayenne, okay? I'm from Cayenne, so I know that God has a plan for El Dorado, okay? If He can move in Australia, He can move in El Dorado, okay? If He can move in Brownsville, in Florida, He can move in El Dorado. God is still the same yesterday, today, and He will be the same forever. But it's up to you to get rid of that baggage that you're carrying around and to move forward with Jesus Christ. But are you prepared to make that sacrifice? We must put on a new role. We must head in a new direction and have the new way of thinking, which is the Holy Spirit. Our prayer must be, order my steps by your word, dear Lord. Order my steps. Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 through 20. Walking along the beach of Lake Galilee, Jesus saw two brothers, Simon, later called Peter, and Andrew. They were fishing. They were throwing their nets into the lake. It was their regular work. Jesus said to them, "Come with me. I'll make you a new kind of fisherman out of you. I'll show you how to catch men and women instead of perch and bass." They did not ask any questions, but they simply dropped their nets and they followed him. Okay, how many of you enjoyed fishing? How many of you would love for that to be your job, is to fish all day long? Okay? I know my father-in-law, he certainly would. He would love that to be all he has to do is catch fish. Okay? But imagine that that was your way of life. That is what you depended on. That was your income. Okay? Many of you have a job, you have a career. Imagine if God asks you, give it up and follow me. What would you do? What would you do? Would you, without hesitation, follow him? Me? I'd be like, Jesus, I got a wife and four kids. This paycheck that I'm getting is awfully important. But is your job and your career and that paycheck, is that a piece of baggage that you don't want to check? Think about it, y'all. What is God calling you to do? What is God calling you to give up? But I can tell you, I'm honest. I'll be transparent up here. There is no way that I could just drop my net and follow him. I'd be like, oh, hold on. But how deep is your faith to know that if you're faithful, God will provide? It doesn't matter about the amount that you give, okay? Because some of you, you may not have as much to give as someone else over here. But what is the sacrifice and what is the heart behind it? Are you giving with a willing and a joyful heart? Are you willing to drop everything and go? Or you be like, I don't know about that. But God is calling you. Every single one of you in here, God is calling you. But what are you prepared to do? God wants to fill us with His goodness, but we must make room for that goodness. I'm going to use a line that one of my favorite teachers, Bishop T.D. Jakes, said. Okay? He said, get your junk out your trunk in order to move on with Jesus Christ. You've got to get your junk out your trunk. You've got to check that baggage. But are you willing to do that? Because God's calling. That calling is there. At 12 years old, at church camp in Hot Springs, Arkansas, I can take you to exactly to the place that God called me into the ministry. God's calling is true. And did I accept that calling right then? No. Mm-mm. I'm a preacher's kid. I've seen the nastiness that people had brought up against my dad. I'm like, ooh, Christians don't act like that. Okay? But I didn't want to. I was like, no, Dad. I told my dad, when I got home, I said, Dad, I don't want to be a preacher. He said, why not? I said, because I've seen how nasty people can be, and I don't know if I could keep my Christianity and, you know, really be able to love people the way that you do and the way that God does. Because the first time that one of them did to me to some of the things you did, a karate punch to the throat, it's over. Okay? But God's got this. God's got this. But you have got to put aside those things that are holding you down, that are keeping you in place. You've got to put those aside in order to move forward with Jesus Christ. In closing, in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1, it says, therefore, be imitators of God. That's my ultimate prayer, is to be an imitator of Jesus Christ. And that should be your prayer. If we practice Christ's teachings and share the gospel with others, we will be able to draw those around us to Jesus Christ. We'll be able to be a fisher of men who pulls fish into this boat with nets. But we can't do that if we're carrying around baggage. Peter and Andrew were not in a hypnotic trance when they followed, but they were convinced that following him would change their lives forever. Brother Cricket, when you heard the calling of Jesus Christ and you took that mantle and you followed him, did it change your life? When I finally decided to stop being stupid and stop trying to do it on my own. Because that's one of the worst things that you can do, okay? You cannot do this on your own. Okay? You can't do it. You've got to depend on Jesus Christ. Because there's going to be tests. There's going to be trials. I promise you. It's going to happen. But it's what you decide to do. Are you willing to stand firm and let Jesus take control? Or are you going to tuck tail and run? Okay? It's that decision. What are you prepared to do? And if you make that decision to become that fisher of men and to drop that baggage and to get rid of that and to follow Jesus Christ, I could tell you, this sanctuary, it's not going to be big enough. You might as well be getting ready to look for something bigger. Because if everybody makes that decision that's here tonight, this sanctuary is not going to hold you. You might have to go to 2 services or 3 services on a Sunday morning because this ain't going to work. Okay? If you make that decision to follow him and impact your world that he's calling you to do, none of us can imagine what could be. Like from last Wednesday night, the what if. What if you made that decision to say, God, I will follow you with all of my heart, all of my soul, and all of my life, and I will do whatever you tell me to do. I will follow you. So what we need to do, if First, we have to acknowledge that we have baggage. We all do. Okay? It's going to happen. We all have that. But the second thing that we have to do is check your baggage with God. You got to check it. Because you can't carry it and follow God and fulfill your total destiny with that baggage weighing you down. But the third thing is once you've checked that baggage, then you can fly high with Jesus Christ. How many of you want to fly high with Jesus Christ? Amen.